Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean O'Hara is with us right now, so we'll get to him from the NFL Network. You can check him out there. He's got his shows. You can check him out on Twitter, too, and he joins us now. Sean, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Doing well. How are you?
All right, Sean, I want to concentrate on the Giants with you more than anything else because there's a lot there. Tell me what you think.
My expectations of the Giants are probably a little bit loftier than most. I've heard all the banter this preseason. I know a lot of people say the over-under for wins for them is 6. If that's the case, I take the over all day long. I think when I look at this team in contrast to what I saw last year, they are so much more competent offensively. They are so much more competent up front. With Kevin Zeitler at right guard,
huge difference,
upgrade. Yes.
They can finally pass block on the right side.
Oh, he's been the best pass blocking guard in the NFL,
Been able to pass block for years on the right side.
No, the right guard and the left tackle with Eric Flowers for 4 years, it was a total train wreck. So that's big. He's a pretty stout guy in the run game, but he's also a culture guy. He's got that nasty want to finish guy mentality. He's not just trying to block guys. I mean, he's trying to punish guys. And I like Mike Remmers at right tackle. Now,
I agree with the offensive line 100%, but I also think people are going to walk up and make it a heavy box because they're going to say the Giants don't have the wide receivers. Let's walk up, let's take Barkley away and make Eli throw the ball.
Well, in order for them to have a huge box and bring the eighth guy in there, you've got to go two tight end formations. And I don't know that Pat Shurmur is going to do that. I think he wants to spread people out, and everybody's doing it now. College football is doing it now. The NFL is doing it. Get everybody in space. There's a lot more running room. So I think you look at Saquon, the last time they played the Dallas Cowboys down in Dallas last year in week 2, he had 14 catches. They threw the ball to him 16 times. So that's going to be more of the same. I think you get Saquon in space. There's no linebacker that can tackle that guy.
Oh, I totally agree. And Ingram's going to be huge, too. But if you play Ingram and then a bunch of wideouts, you're going to wonder about them at the point of attack a little bit, aren't you? And also, they don't have that many wideouts right now, the Giants.
Well, yeah, with Golden Tate being suspended, Sterling Shepard will get a lot of the work in the slot, and he's been a pretty darn good receiver in the slot. I think the key
with this
offense is a guy who nobody really talks about in Rhett Ellison. Now, he's not going to catch 100 yards in passing, but at the point of attack, he has been phenomenal.
I agree.
From what I've seen in the preseason. So that the extension of the run game has always been the tight end.
So you're going to be treating Ingram like he's a wide receiver rather than as a tight end?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see a lot more of is kind of that trips right formation. You've got three wide receivers to the right, and you split Evan Ingram out to the left, and you hope to get a favorable matchup one-on-one with a linebacker or a safety. And then the other thing you do is you put Saquon Barkley offset to the left side, and that basically declares to the defense who's going to cover Saquon. Either you're rolling a safety down, which shows its hand, or you've got a linebacker. The one thing that the Cowboys did last year a number of times, if you don't have a linebacker that can cover a running back in the passing game, and teams did this against Marshall Faulk, when you struggle with linebackers in coverage, you blitz them. And you hope that now the running back has to stay in to protect.
Yep.
The Giants went empty protection and actually released Saquon in that. And Eli just said, look, I'll throw hot all day long to Saquon in space. That's what I saw a lot of. So if the Cowboys do that again, if that's their same game plan defensively, expect to see a lot of those hot throws to Saquon.
And I think that can work. And I think I agree with you. We're talking with Sean Howard. I think the offense is going to be improved because I think the offensive line finally has reel for the first time in many years. I'm going to think that Nate's going to be better at the left tackle this year than he was last year. Hernandez is a year older. Jalapio's healthy. So I give you all that. I agree about the right side. And I think they're going to be pretty good on offense. I agree. The question I have is there any lead they can protect with this defense?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks on the defense, and I think that's where, you know, we've really got to figure out what kind of team you have on that side of the ball. Just to piggyback back on last year, down in Dallas, Eli was sacked 6 times. I don't see that happening again just because I think they're so much better. I think we will see more 10 and 11 play drives because I think that
gotcha.
Second year in the offense, they're not going to beat themselves. But defensively, right. Look, you go back to week 17, all right, Dallas came into the MetLife Stadium without Zeke, and they couldn't get Dak off the field. Why? Because they didn't have a pass rush, and yep. then they were giving up plays in the secondary. So, if you're gonna give up those big plays, which you know, a lot of those were, you know, Landon Collins, you know, struggled earlier on in the
yes.
season with some big plays in the passing game. They're hoping that with these young corners, you know, the one guy nobody's talking about is Janoris Jenkins, quietly been one of the best corners in the league. You know, he's not a big talker. He doesn't get a lot of the publicity, but he is a lockdown corner. And I think you put him on Dallas' best receiver, and now one of these young guys has to step up. But the pass rush is key. James Betcher, his last year in Arizona, was the most blitz-happy defensive coordinator in the league. In order for him to get to that, he's got to have some safeties that can cover and some corners that can play man-to-man. If it's just I'm relying on my front four to get there, with Dallas Cowboys offensive line, that's going to be a problem. So, I think that's really the question mark that I have.
I agree.
They played Zeke Elliott well. He has not done very well on the ground against the Giants the last couple of years, despite their record. So those are the things that I'm watching. Can they get pressure on third down and get Dak off the field? If they can't, it's going to be just like Week 17 last year.
And let's be honest, the Giants last year, second half of the year, except for the Tennessee game, they averaged over 30 points a game in the other 7 games, but they blew 4 leads. 4 times they gave up the lead to lose the game late.
Yeah, they couldn't get off the field. They couldn't finish and close out games defensively. I mean, scoring points were not a problem. I mean, it's been documented they scored more points than any other
yeah.
team in the division, and yet
yep.
they still couldn't find a way to win games. But that second half of the season, you know, last year there was a complete line of demarcation. The first half of the season was abysmal. They were dysfunctional. Second half of the season, you got a true litmus test as far as who you have. I think they start out looking more like that team.
Right.
And also, Mike, when you look at their schedule, last year, 4 out of their first 6
was
games were playoff teams.
They, with disaster.
The first 8 games, they played 3 teams that had a winning record last year. So this schedule, it starts out very favorable. You know,
and it has to be good early. They have to be good early. If they're not, you know what's going to happen. And it's not just that they're going to have trouble, but also there's going to be everyone calling, and the pressure's going to be on the Giants to play the kid. So you know that's going to come if they're losing. So they
yeah.
have to get off to a fast start. And I think that's if you like them to have a decent year, you're figuring they're going to get off 3-1 in the first 4 games, looking at the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule, they play Arizona. I mean, they're playing Buffalo. You know, they play the
Washington
AFC.
Early, yep.
So, you know, you've got really, when you take Tom Brady out of the equation, you don't know what Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and what Fitzpatrick is going to show up. So, you know, it's all, I think the schedule plays out for them to be a lot better and have more wins than people expect.
How delicate do you think the Eli Daniel Jones thing is for them to finesse?
I don't think it's as big of a deal and as delicate as everybody thinks it is. You know, I think Daniel Jones has done a great job of just coming in and focusing on himself. The one thing that any quarterback drafted high will tell you is you've got to win the locker room over if you want to become the starting quarterback. And I think Daniel Jones has done a good job in doing that the right way. I saw it with Eli when he came in, and, you know, Kerry Collins was there initially when they drafted Eli, and then he asked for his release, and they bring in Kurt. And everybody kind of knew it was Eli's team, but Eli never forced his hand. He earned things the right way. He earned it by going out there and putting in the work and putting in the time. You know, and I think even he would tell you that he probably got put in too soon. I mean, we were 5-4 when Eli
yep.
Replaced Kurt.
And Warner handled that well. He handled it very gracefully.
Well, he handled it well. He's still a little salty about it. Yep. I still rib him about it every time I see him. But I think Eli, look, he took his lumps those first couple of games. And
yeah,
I think
sure.
looking back on it,
yeah.
you know, it would probably be a better situation to kind of do like Mahomes did in Kansas City last year.
They only
year.
Won one game year. The rest of the year that year, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the Week 17 game against Dallas.
Yep.
I remember it well. So it's, you know, I don't think that there's inside the building, hey, man, you know, there's pressure on Daniel Jones. There's pressure to win. And, look, it's not just Eli. Eli can play great. If the defense doesn't do exactly what we just talked about and they're losing games, guess what? It's not just about Eli's job. Pat Shurmur is going to feel the heat too, because in this market, there are no 3-year scholarships. You know, he lasted 2 years in Cleveland, and I like Pat. I think he's done a really good job with this locker room, with handling some of the drama earlier on last year and with what's transpired. But I think he has a great rapport with this team and with this locker room. This feels like a team. It did not feel like a team last year, and certainly not the year before when there was all kinds of dysfunction going on. But I know you look on paper, and everybody wants to look at talent to say what kind of a team you have. But from a chemistry standpoint and being around those guys in training camp, this just feels like a better team. It feels like they have more chemistry.
Do you think, and we're talking with Sean Howard, do you think there is a player in that defensive front seven of the Giants that would scare somebody?
Well, I tell you, B.J. Hill has really surprised me. I mean, obviously last year he had, 5.5 sacks. I really like his slipperiness. And usually defensive tackles, that's kind of one of the things that they struggle with. I think Dexter Lawrence is going to be a force to be reckoned with, but he's not going to beat you on the edge. He's not going to line up outside shoulder of the guard and run the rim and beat you for a sack. He's going to push the pocket, which is going to make everybody else better, and it's gonna make the quarterback get out of the pocket. But I think B.J. Hill inside can be a guy. Marcus Goldman is a guy I've kind of got my eye on. He had 12.5 sacks 2 years ago. He was the MVP of his college bowl game, so he's got some skill. He's just been hurt. He tore his ACL 2 years ago, and last year he was never healthy. So I think he's a guy that can really show up. And Lorenzo Carter, he's a long-armed guy. One of the toughest things for offensive linemen to handle is defensive linemen that have those go-go gadget arms. So the question really with him is just, can he get off the blocks and can he win the hand battles? NFC East has some of the best tackles in the league. You know, if you count Trent Williams, who, should be back in there at some point, I mean, you're facing Lane Johnson and Jason Peters and, Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. I mean, you've got to have some guys that can win on one-on-one on third down if you're going to win this division.
So you think the Giants get close to being break even, or you think they're better than that?
I had this sneaky suspicion that they are going to be in the mix for some sort of a wild card berth later on. I mean, I think on paper, I think the Eagles are the best team in that division. I think, Dallas, they're a very physical team, and I think Dallas' defense is very under the radar for how good they were last year against the run. So that's going to be troublesome for some people. But I think the Giants have a chance to win 9 games, maybe even 10. I mean, if you're an optimist, which I am, I think they could find themselves. The tough thing is going to be, I think you get 2 teams out of the NFC South. The NFC West, you could end up with 2 teams out of there in Seattle and the Rams. So, you kind of the spots start shrinking. So, they could have 9 or 10 wins and still not make the playoffs, just because of some of these other teams. But when you look at their schedule, it's really going to come down to that December. They play Philly twice, Miami and Washington. That Philly game in Week 17, Mike, it could come back in their favor. Let's say Philly has the division locked up and they don't play starters.
That's a free game.
It could end up being, a win for the Giants later on in the season. Just like
that's a good point. No, that could be a freebie.
Didn't play Zeke because they couldn't improve their position.
No, that's a that could always be a freebie. You're right. That's it. Quickly, 2 things. One, tell me what it means when the Giants and Jets play, and especially to the Giants. Now, it's not a Giant home game; it's a Jet home game. But Giants and Jets play this year. How much as the big team, as the always the Giants versus the Jets? What does that mean, Giants Jets?
Well, we used to always play in the preseason, and it was the Snoopy Bowl, and it was everybody got jazzed up about it, and it was preseason, so it was hard for guys to really just kind of look at it like, hey, this is anything more than a tune-up for the regular season, but. I tell you, it means something for the fans, that's for sure.
Did you feel anything extra when you played the Jets? Did it mean something to you?
Yeah, I think there's some good energy, but I was friends with a lot of guys on the Jets team. Nick Mangold, I got to know Mark Sanchez a little bit, and, it is kind of, you feel a little bit like family. You're sharing the same house, maybe you're like stepbrothers. But I don't think there's any animosity there. And I think, since you don't play each other often and, You know, you don't really get that. There's not a bitter rivalry. I'm sure there's definitely some competition amongst the front offices, and you know, there may be some, you know, cases of wine that are bid on the game. But I think the fact that it's an away game for the Giants, that place is going to be rocking. You know, Giants fans are great, but the Jets fans are different now. All right, they're a different breed. They are loud the entire time. So I've been to both games in the regular season, and I'll be honest with you, Jets fans are louder. They're a little bit wilder, you know, in more ways than one. So I'll tell you that's going to be a very spirited game. And when you look at both of their team schedules, that game is going to come at a very pivotal time for both teams. I think both the Jets and the Giants are going to need that win, even though it's AFC NFC. You know, the Giants are going into a bye after that, and they're both going to be fighting to stay alive in the playoffs.
All right, we're talking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network. What do you think about the Jets?
You know, I like the Jets' offense with Adam Gase. I think he's always done a great job of putting players in successful positions. I think Sam Darnold is a great fit for him. I think Sam can learn from him and just learn from how he sees defenses. Adam Gase calls plays and coaches quarterbacks like he was a quarterback and from the pocket. So I think that really helps out. I've got two questions offensively. You know, who is going to be that go-to guy on third down? You know, you can't just rely on Le'Veon Bell all three downs. You've got to have somebody. Is it Anunua? You know, does Robbie end up being the guy? That guy has to emerge. And then the other question is just from an offensive line standpoint, we've seen Le'Veon Bell be one of the most patient running backs in the league. Can he maintain that patience with this offensive line? He had the spoils of one of the top five O-lines every single year he was in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
How does that affect his
run
game?
He does not have that here. He does not have that.
Yeah, so I think the negative runs, you know, could be a factor. And I also, you know, one of the things that I used to always say whenever we had a really good running back is the only person that can stop him from having 100 yards rushing is the offensive coordinator. So how much does Adam Gase trust Le'Veon Bell and want to use him in this offense? Adam Gase is a throw-first guy. Now, he will throw the ball to Le'Veon Bell, which is great, but at some point you've got to impose the will. And, you know, one guy that I really like in that Jets offensive line is Kalijah Osemele. You know, he had a little bit of a down year last year. He was banged up, had a knee injury in Oakland, and what didn't look like the same guy. But he is a punisher, and he loves to just finish guys, finish blocks. He's down the field. So I'm curious to see how him and Ryan Khalil, who they brought off the couch, I'm curious to see how those two mesh.
And who starts off week one, the best team in football?
Week one, best team in football. Man, I'll be shocked if the Eagles don't come out looking pretty sharp. I was down there in training camp, and I watched practice. I don't think I saw a ball hit the ground but one time. And Nelson Aguilar was uncoverable in the slot. They had guys just streaking down the field. So I think that they're going to look pretty good. You know, I'm curious to see how the Rams look. And I know it's always tough coming off of the Super Bowl.
Very tough.
You know, you just played a lot of football. I'll be curious to see how much Todd Gurley gets early on. I know they want to pace him a little bit better than they did last year. But I tell you, the Saints' offense got better, and that's scary.
I think the Saints and the Chiefs are the best teams myself.
Man, I was on Total Access the other day, and they asked us to pick a Super Bowl matchup and winner, and I went with the Saints and the Chiefs.
That's what I did, too. I picked the Chiefs over the Saints. This is Andy's year. I think the Chiefs' offense is the best I've seen in a long, long – maybe as good as the old Ram offense. Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, as explosive as they were last year, it's hard to believe that they got better, but they did. This kid, Nicole Hardman, I mean, he's another freak that you get out there, and he's going to be tough to cover.
And nobody can stop Hill. It's impossible. There's nothing you can do with the guy.
The fact that they just got LeSean McCoy, you know, that's Andy Reid has created all kinds of headaches with defensive coordinators. He may not run the football as much as you think, but he has little screen plays, little quick throws to the running backs that kind of count as runs in space. And, you know, the next thing you know, you look up and you're down 17 points and you don't even know what happened. So They're a dangerous offense. They've got some questions on offensive line that they've got to fix. But for the Saints, the fact that they went out and got Jared Cook at tight end, and now you give somebody down the middle of the field for Drew Brees to use, and they drafted Eric McCoy in the second round at center. So they got better up front and in that pocket, which has always been a big thing for Drew Brees to step up. Excuse me. You know, that Saints team is legit.
All right. Well, listen, we're watching you on the NFL Network. Thanks very much. Talk again. Thank you very
much,
Sean.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy
your morning. Sean O'Hara, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.